Welcome to the Catholics on Campus podcast, where certified Catholic mindset coach and college student development expert, Dr. Virginia Cook, provides practical tips and coaching to succeed in college while growing in your Catholic faith. And now, your host, Virginia Cook.
Don't you love the start of a new year? It's filled with such possibility, such delight. Like we saw on Christmas Eve with the opening of the holy doors at the Vatican, the doors of hope are wide open. It's now up to us to pick up our mats and walk through. This is my first episode of Catholics on Campus for 2025, and I want to start the year with some words of encouragement, hope, and reflection. Welcome back to the podcast, my friends. As I record this, it's a chilly morning. With my husband's encouragement, we got the year off to a great start by attending the first Saturday Mass of January and 2025 at St. James Cathedral in Orlando. St. James's front doors are designated holy doors for the Jubilee Year of Hope. The doors are beautifully decorated with the official seal of the Holy See in the center, the insignia of the 2025 Jubilee year on either side, draped with yellow bunting and pine branches framing the doors. Inside the foyer, the rector of St. James Cathedral, Very Reverend Miguel Gonzalez, posted welcome proclamations for the Jubilee Year of Hope in English and Spanish. He noted that the Orlando Diocesan Jubilee will conclude on the Feast of the Holy Family on December 28, 2025. He wrote, "St. James is a place of pilgrimage for all to come and see. I hope if you're in the Orlando area that you will come and see this beautiful cathedral and experience the beauty of this Jubilee year." I was reflecting on the Jubilee year holy doors, and the image of crossing a threshold really stuck with me. The holy doors at St. James Cathedral were so big that my husband and I were able to each open one door and walk through them together. I've been to some sites in the Holy Land where the entrance to the holy site is actually quite small and requires you to stoop as you walk through the short doorway. For instance, in Bethlehem at the Church of the Nativity, there's a very small door that requires you to stoop over to get through it. I had to stoop, and I'm only 5'1" tall. That entrance is known as the Door of Humility. It was designed intentionally to require all visitors to bow as they enter, symbolizing humility and reverence. Another practical reason for the door's small size was to prevent medieval looters and invaders who were riding on horseback from entering into the church, thereby ensuring its safety and sanctity. Thresholds offer opportunity, symbolic and real transformation. I think about students walking through a school entrance on their first day, a groom carrying his bride over the threshold of their home, graduates walking across a stage to receive their diplomas, athletes stepping onto the field for a big game, entrepreneurs opening doors of their new business. The threshold can symbolize a new phase of life or milestone achievement. What thresholds are you about to walk through over the next year? As Catholics on Campus, you may be leaving your residence hall and moving to an off-campus apartment for the first time. You could be a semester away from graduation and about to start a new job or graduate school. You could be a faculty member teaching a new course this semester. You could be a staff member who has increased responsibility in some area of your job. Whatever your threshold is, it may come with its fair share of uncertainty, stress, and anxiety. Or maybe you're the type of person who sees challenges as opportunities and are excited to get started. As you think about the thresholds that you are about to cross, here are five questions that you can ask yourself. Number one, how can I invite the Holy Spirit to guide and inspire me as I step over this threshold? Two, how can I deepen my relationship with the Lord as I journey through this new threshold? Three, what fears or anxieties do I need to surrender to God so that I can confidently cross this threshold? Four, What spiritual gifts might I receive as I cross this new threshold? And number 5, how does this threshold in my life align with God's plan for me? Taking the time to respond to self-coaching questions like these can be really helpful. If you find yourself wanting more guidance to have someone help you or sort through your thoughts, feel free to reach out to me for one-on-one coaching. A threshold can also offer protection, boundaries, or security. For example, Exodus chapter 12 describes how Moses told the Israelites to protect themselves by readying their doors for the Passover. In Exodus 12, verse 22 and 23, Moses said, "Then take a bunch of hyssop and, dipping it into the blood that is in the basin, apply some of this blood," he was talking about blood of the lamb, "to the lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outdoors until morning. For when the Lord goes to strike down the Egyptians, seeing the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not let the destroyer come into your house to strike you down." For Christians, the threshold or door symbolizes salvation. In John 10:9, Jesus refers to himself as the door. Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Here are 4 self-coaching questions that you could ask yourself to contemplate this scripture more deeply. Number 1, how do I perceive Jesus as the door in my life? Number 2, what pastures am I seeking in my life and how can Jesus lead me there? Number 3, what could I learn from past experiences where I felt guided by Jesus? And number 4, how can I practice gratitude for the blessings I received by following Jesus? Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 reminds us, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Well, what are you seeking? This is a great question to ask yourself for 2025 and beyond. One of the things I will bring with me through this threshold into 2025 are the lessons I've learned over the past year. The first lesson I've learned is that the time I spend with family is very valuable. My husband had 2 surgeries this year and needed my support through his healing. We made spending time together a priority and strive to encourage each other to grow in our relationship, even as we approach 25 years of marriage. Another insight related to time is that every day is precious with my mom as she ages. This year, my family has made extra efforts to celebrate Mother's Day with her and her birthday in big ways. We also got together to celebrate our nephew's high school graduation. Time passes quickly, and it's so important to mark these milestones. Second, I've learned to be grateful for the time I get to spend with my students. I've been able to practice many virtues such as patience, perseverance, and truthfulness. I had students crying in my office, reaching out to me as a trusted adult, and thanking me for being their teacher. Just the other day, I ran into a former student who wanted to tell me that he and a few other students from our class last spring have become close friends and they get together often. He wanted me to know that they missed my class. I was so touched. He was beaming as he shared this with me, and I have to say it really made my day. Similarly, my coaching has taken off, and I've really gotten supportive comments from the clients that I've worked with. It's moments like these that I know that I'm making a difference with the help of the Holy Spirit. A third lesson I've learned is that being Catholic is an active pursuit. My spiritual life has been enriched by my involvement in several parish ministries. For the past 2 years, I've served our parish's St. Vincent de Paul chapter as their spiritual advisor, and I was just selected to take on another 3-year term. The opportunity to pray with and for 30 Vincentians who attend our meetings every 2 weeks and for our friends in need has been humbling. I also co-lead a parish small group, meeting twice a month to build community at our parish, strengthen our evangelization muscles, and pray together. This multi-generational group has become such a joy to work with. I'm also a reader at Mass throughout the year and love proclaiming the word in a spirit-filled way. Additionally, last fall, I led some temperaments workshops at my parish, and they were very well received. It's been so fun to help others develop a stronger self-understanding and to get closer to God in the process. Lastly, but certainly not least, my spiritual life has been boosted by the support of my spiritual director and my Catholic coaching colleagues. Finally, a fourth lesson I've learned is to feed my head and my heart with good food. I've nurtured a love of learning my entire life, and this year was no different. I gobbled up dozens of books on Catholicism, education, mental health, and other topics, many in preparation for this podcast. I've become a regular listener to about a dozen podcasts, which make my commute time more fruitful and enjoyable. Since becoming a certified Working Genius facilitator, I've been able to help over 100 people learn how to work better in teams and how to leverage their God-given talents. As a member of Toastmasters, I've grown as a public speaker and developed new friendships with people that I would never have met otherwise. I keep investing in myself so that I can pass on what I learn to you and to be the best possible coach for you. My days are very full, and there's still so much I want to do. That said, one of my goals for this year is to enrich my prayer life and live a more liturgical-centered life. My husband is a prayer warrior, and I certainly have his support and encouragement. It's important to surround yourself with like-minded people who are open to helping you. If improving your prayer life is something you would like to work on, let me know, and perhaps we can work on it together. I hope you found this episode helpful. Please give it a 5-star rating and share it with your friends. If you have any suggestions for future podcasts, feel free to reach out to me through my website, knotsdashuntied.com. I've linked to the website in the show notes to make it easier for you to reach me. I'd love to hear from listeners, so please don't be afraid to reach out. Until next time, Mary, untier of knots, pray for us. God bless you.
If you are an ambitious college student who desires to leverage your God-given talents to live in beatitude and make a bold difference in the world, Dr. Virginia Cook can help you excel in your educational journey and grow in your Catholic identity. As founder of Knots Untied Coaching, Virginia offers mindset coaching from an authentically Catholic perspective and collegiate success and well-being strategies for happy, healthy, and holy living. Want to stay connected? Visit knotsuntied.com to learn how to join an amazing community of like-minded Catholic college students and their parents. You can also follow her on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. Check out the show notes for links and special offers.